Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 13 is where we'll begin. Before we begin there, I just want to say it has, like I said, been a good week. Been a good week. Got to spend some time with the preacher this morning. Ms. Audie got to spend some time with the preacher's wife today. And good fellowship. And I found out where Billy gets to sleep from time to time now. I think Billy follows the food.
Yeah.
Amen. He follows the food. He's eaten two or three different places we've eaten this week, so I think he follows the food. Y'all need to pray God give him a wife that cooks, amen, and settle him down a little bit. But anyway, Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him," man, I like the way God responds sometimes, don't you? Hey, man. "He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? He said unto them, now watch this, he said unto them, Take heed," this is the Lord teaching now, "take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth."
Yes.
And he went directly into this parable, and this parable is just what it is, a parable. But it's so true to life, it's just unbelievable. He could have probably picked out anyone, including the one he's talking about, may have been in the crowd, I don't know. But he spake a parable unto them, verse 16, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now turn your Bible, hold there, just mark that, but go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, and we're going to read two more scriptures here. Verse number 1, verse number 2. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, "Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man," lady, you're involved in that, "a man, woman, boy, girl, whatever, be found faithful."
Yes.
Now, I want to preach to you on this subject from the story, if you'll go back now to Luke chapter 12. I haven't said anything much about money this week. I think I mentioned tithe once or whatever, but in any revival meeting, the greatest victory you'll ever win is a financial victory. And there may be one weakness in here, maybe a few, maybe many, I don't know. But I know that we can all do better. We can all be a part in so many different ways. So I want to share what God shared with me, and I've entitled the message tonight, "A Failure of Success." A Failure of Success. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and honor to be here tonight. Been a great week, great week of fellowship. Again, Lord, you've made us feel like we're at home with our own folk. And Lord, it makes it so much easier to preach. And these folks are easy to preach to, Lord. I hope they're easy to listen. And Lord, you'll teach them and us behind this pulpit, sitting on this platform, maybe not new truth, but Lord, the same truth. That we get it and that we live it and we obey it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A steward, as most of you know, but maybe not all, is a manager or an administrator of all that belongs to God. It is a commitment of oneself and one's possessions to God's will through these means. And I could name several of them, but I put a few in here. Through service, through giving, through caring for God's business, the Great Commission, others, if you will. Recognizing the principles of stewardship. And there are several of them, but the principle of stewardship is ownership. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Read a scripture or two. It's also responsibility on our part. You understand that God is faithful. My Bible said when we tithe, God opens up the windows of heaven. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
opens up the windows of heaven, pours you out a blessing that, listen, that you'll not have room enough. Hello? No, I like it when people give me something I ain't got room enough to keep it in. Amen? God's done that over and abundantly, and not necessarily financially as far as dropping a big bundle of cash. But just by taking care of us day in and day out through all of our life's struggles, no matter how difficult they may be, if we be a good, faithful steward, I promise you, He is going to be a good, faithful God and a blessing to everything that we give unto Him. Not only ownership, as I said, but responsibility. We all have a responsibility in this area. Also accountability. We're held accountable, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know some pastors, I don't know how your pastor handles it. I know I kept up with it for budget's sake. But I know some pastors, they watch the tithing of the people. Now, listen to me. Don't get upset about that. Yeah. Okay? I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. And preacher, I didn't even talk to you about this. I think it'll be all right. But I want you to listen to me. This man is accountable for you.
Yes, sir.
And when it comes to having deacons, or I don't know what else you got, we had a couple of trustees for property's sake and loans and other things, and they were very well educated in that area. I want my deacons to tithe.
Amen.
I want my trustees to tithe. I want my Sunday school teachers who are teaching my folks to tithe.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all listening?
Amen.
I want my deacons, I want my trustees, I want my Sunday school teachers to be concerned about souls and be a part of the soul winning program. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to tell you that God owns it all. God's the one who blesses. And our responsibility is to bless Him.
Yes, sir.
All right? And then there's another one called reward. Now, I don't know about you, but most people like that word reward. All right? We've mentioned that a couple of times this week, and we're going to mention it again tonight and tomorrow night. But there is rewards for the child of God who is found faithful. And God wants you and I to be faithful so He can bless us. Now, we, all of us who call ourselves children of God, and hopefully that's not just a calling but a reality, long to hear in eternity from the Master, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I do. I don't know about you. I think that'd be good. I said that my dad didn't think much of me when I was a teenager and let me know that, but I got news for you. My Heavenly Father's never let me down. My Heavenly Father's never said a bad thing about me. My Heavenly Father's always encouraged me, uplifted me, exhorted me, gave me everything that He thought I needed.
Amen.
You know, it's something you just don't need. Amen. But the first rule of stewardship as children of God is this: we don't own anything.
That's right.
Do you understand that? This is not new, just need to be reminded. We don't own anything. We don't have any rights when it comes to God. This is the only thing that we've been given to have rights of, and we're to live by this book right here. But now listen to me. We don't own, well, look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I wasn't going to do it, but I am. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You know it well, but let's just look at it together. It's all right to review, isn't it?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just drop down. There's a lot of good reading here. Drop down just to verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Boy, I love this scripture.
Amen.
Do you realize you and I are here tonight? I'm standing, you're sitting, every one of us have the Holy Ghost of God in us.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? Wonder how He's treated sometimes. We got Jesus in us. We got God the Father in us. And I wonder how we respond to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in us. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
He's in us. He's here tonight.
Yes.
Trying to get a hold of our attention, if you will. And so God wants us. Now look at the rest of this. It gets better. He says, No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are, and you know the scripture. You're not what? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. For you are bought with a price. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sovereignty of God. That is His will. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Stewardship. It's you and I being managers of God's grace in all that He provides for us. What for? For His glory. What for? For ministry. What for? To see the lost saved. What for? So that we might be pleasing unto God the Father. And Luke chapter 12 kind of outlines it for you and I want to go through that with you. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. So go back to Luke chapter 12 now. We could go to a couple other scriptures there, but I want to get time on Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning there, just listening very carefully, many of Christ's teachings, if you follow his teachings in the New Testament, were given in response to some kind of interruption. And no difference here. Because while he is teaching this parable, he's teaching his disciples to fear God and to trust him for everything when a man interrupts. And it's a selfish man. He interrupts God here. He interrupts the Lord Jesus here. And he says, if you'll go back to it and look with me now, down in verse number 13, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now listen carefully. I don't know what inheritance that was. I don't know what was involved. But he interrupted the work and the teaching of the Lord to have him take care of a problem or what he called a problem in his life. Apparently, he was the younger brother here, and his elder brother would not give that part of the estate that was rightfully his. That was his argument, if you will. But the Lord spoke back to him, if you look at it, in verse 14, he said unto him, Man, who may be a judge or divider over you? Now, listen carefully. Do you understand that Jesus could have settled that family quarrel with no issue at all? He could have said, Well, where's your brother? Bring him over here, let me slap him a couple of times. No, he didn't do that. But Jesus could have settled that. He could have took care of it right there. But Jesus chose not to take care of that situation. Why? Because there's a greater lesson here for you and I. You know, I and I'm getting there. I'm trying not to repeat myself too much. But this young man here had a spiritual problem. He had a spiritual condition that was so degenerate that it caused the Lord to launch out at him. I believe in love, but in correcting him. He was speaking when he should have been listening. Are y'all listening? And notice this. Jesus could have settled that family dispute with great wisdom, I believe, skill, but he refused again to do so. You know, there are many people, and I don't want you to miss this. There are many people, hear me now, who want Jesus to solve their problems, but not to change their hearts. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're always wanting God to solve our problem. We're always wanting God to do this, do that. But we're not willing to change our own hearts. We're not willing to line up with the Word of God, line up with the will of God for our life. And it doesn't work that way. Now listen, it's speaking of here, he began to teach the disciples. In fact, he was interrupted while he was doing that about covetousness. Go down to verse number 15. And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now listen carefully. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now I don't know. It's a parable. I said that earlier. I don't know if this man was rich. He was wanting to get rich through the inheritance, if you will. But this man had a greater problem than the question that he asked. And this problem was selfishness. This problem was all about him, not even about his family, not about his brother, not about maybe a living mother or father, if that was involved there, and they split the inheritance, kind of like the parable of the prodigals. Everybody remember that? Father was still alive. We think maybe the mother was still alive. And yet the father gave the prodigal what? Gave him his inheritance. Y'all remember that? And he went out and he wasted it and found him in a hog's pen. And the worst part about that was not just him, his brother got all upset about it while he's in the father's house. You know that story. But the key to the parable here is in verse 15. Take heed, beware of covetous, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. The covetous person thinks what an abundance of things is a key to a successful life. And that's what this man thought was. Yes. It was a key to a successful life. But in this parable, Jesus warned that an abundance of things could make a person a failure. Are you listening? I know a lot of people that got a lot of things. Yeah. And they don't have time for God. They don't want to be right with God with their finances. They don't want to be right with God when there's a special need. But if there's something on sale down at the Sporting Goods or something on sale down at JCPenney, we have no problem going out and doing it. I'm not against buying that. I think my wife done passed up the sale on my Stafford shirts, by the way. They were down to $19.99, and I think it's over with now. But it doesn't mean that God is insensitive to your need and my need. Because he knows we have essentials of life that are absolutely necessary. But I'm not talking about essentials. I'm talking about covetousness. You know, my Bible says your father, in fact, look at Luke 12, verse 30. Drop down. My Bible says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your father knoweth that you have need of these things. How many believe God knows what you have need of? Amen. Sure he does. Sure he does. But it does mean that of themselves, listen to me now, things cannot make life successful. Point here. These people winning the lotteries, they're ending up going nuts.
That's right.
They're ending up committing sin of great portions, if you will. They can't manage the money. They don't trust the people that do manage money. You say, well, I'd like to win a million. Would you like to win $1 million? Unless you just are a financial genius, I would go nuts. I'd be thinking my kid brother, who's always in and out of prison, going to come try to steal it when I'm gone out of town. Amen. And I'm afraid to invest it. Y'all ain't seen any problems with investments the last few years, have you? Stock markets and everything. Oh, I know it's up there now, but as fast as it got up here, it can do this too.
Yes, sir.
Any of you lose money here a few years ago? Absolutely. My father-in-law lost, what, $30,000 just like that. I wish he'd give it to me before he'd done that, and he wouldn't have lost it. But in our parable here, Jesus pictures a man who suddenly became very wealthy. And for the first time in his life, he had an abundance of things. Unfortunately, however, he responded to those blessings in the wrong way. And according to this scripture here, and some will take me to task on this, he died, hear me now, leaving everything behind for that other brother, for his family to fight over. And by the way, I wrote in here, I have seen this so many times over the years. There wouldn't be a will in the family, or they hadn't already decided. They didn't know where they're going to bury mama. They didn't know where they're going to bury daddy. And all of a sudden it gets into a knockdown, drag out, and the preacher's trying to keep them apart and settle the matter. Y'all, this is something I've gone through many times. Now, I don't know whether you got a will or not. It's none of my business what you do. But it'd be good to have some form of a will.
Yes, sir.
It'd be good to have some form of a plan to bury your dead, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know who we talking to, Miss Audie, about the hound dogs the other day. You remember? Okay, well, I'm telling you, I had a man in my church run a bus ministry, great guy, kind of got at odds, got out of church, you know, and in fact, his daughter married my son who pastored the church I started down there now, and Kelly, she's the one who cooks good, amen? All right? But he had bloodhounds, and those bloodhounds were worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And I told him one day, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I know you're making a lot of money. He'd sell a dog for $10,000. I wouldn't buy a herd of dogs if there's such a thing for $10,000. I looked online for my wife, one of them little old bitty puppies with little pointed ears. They're about this big and they're real fluffy. I don't even know the name of it. I called the lady and she says, yeah, I got one left. She said, but you'll have to give $600 down payment. I said, what?
Yeah.
She said, yes, sir. Well, how much are they? She said, down baby. I said, they're $1,200. I said, ma'am, I can buy a whole herd of bird dogs for that. So needless to say, we didn't get that dog. Anyhow, the man that got out of church there and was such a great worker in the bus ministry, and he got wrapped up in finances. He'd go down to what we had called First Monday, which was a once-a-month thing, goes from Friday night, they start up Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So he's down there on the weekends. Down there all day Sunday, selling them stinking bird dogs, trading stuff and everything. Well, anyhow, I just told him one day, I visited him, I said, I don't want to call his name, but I said, you know, God don't like this. He's not happy with it. You know, I hate that anything would happen to your dogs. As I live and breathe, they died. Every one of them. And I went back out to kind of console him and said, you did this. You prayed God kill my dogs, didn't you? I said, you know what? I didn't pray God kill your dogs. I said, I pray God take your dogs. There's a difference. Give them somebody else. And then later he died. You know what they did with him? They took his ashes. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Took his ashes and sprinkled them on top of the graves of the bird dogs. You know how they did it? They drove up with pickup trucks, turned on their, this is Texas now, turned on their headlights at night, so the law wouldn't know what they were doing out there. And they sprinkled the ashes of those bloodhounds out there. I didn't show up, okay? That's their business out there. That's a funny story, but you know what? It was a sad story. Because I believe he'd have continued running that bus ministry and taking care of those kids. He could have had all the bird dogs. They were calling him on the phone from way out of state, buying them dogs. It would have been good for him. But he found an escape, and he kind of satisfied himself, and yet God wasn't pleased with it. So I believe with all my heart God took them dogs. I really do.
Amen.
And by the way, if anything gets in the into the way of the will of God, don't be surprised if he takes something away from you.
Yes, sir.
You listen?
Yes, sir.
Okay? There are people out there that don't think that's going to happen because they go to church. It had nothing to do with going to church. It has all to do with being faithful to God and being a good steward of God's finances in your life. And not only God's finances, but your living, if you will, in your life. Well, anyhow, having all said that, there are some things that God pointed out. I hope these will be a blessing to you. You want to write them down, number one. Look at verse 17 and 18. He thought within himself. Now, there's 11 personal pronouns here. You can read it on your own later as far as marking them. But verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And watch now, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's stop right there. I want you to notice number one here. Do we see God or do we see ourselves in the blessings of God? Now listen to me here. This guy was well blessed. Jesus didn't have any thought with him making money. None at all. In fact, I would to God through my years of pastor, always pray God give my men and ladies good jobs so they could tithe a lot more. Amen. Get more to missions. Get more to special projects in the church. So he wasn't concerned about him making money. He's concerned about him thinking he's the only one who had a part in it. In other words, he didn't see God. He didn't see anybody but himself. He thought within himself, the Bible said. And as this young man, this farmer, beheld his bumper crop, if you will, he did not see the hand of God. He saw himself only. He forgot that he was not the owner. He forgot that he was a steward, if you will. Now, let me just say this to you. When we start forgetting that we're stewards of everything God has given to us, and we're stewards and we don't own anything, we're not of our own self or of Him, that's when the problems start. The material blessings of life always come from God. You can read it in James chapter 1, verse 17. Bible said, God makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. You find that in Mark 5:45. In fact, this rich farmer had such a rich harvest, he did not prove he was a better man. It simply proved that God had been kind and gracious to him. Wealth is no measure of worth. I hope you get this next statement I got written down here. Wealth is no measure of worth. Having a lot of money does not make a person worthy. Honoring God makes that person worthy. Being born again makes that person worthy. But listen to this. Nor does poverty make a man unworthy.
Right.
Some of the people, best Christians I know don't have anything as far as personal possessions, and yet they love the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'm one of those, and I think I've said it to you before, but I'm going to continue to say it till God tells me not to. When people are standing on the side of the road, I don't know if they're drug addicts. I don't know if they're less fortunate. I don't know why their legs are cut off. I don't know. I do know this. I'm going to do my best to be a blessing. And I'm going to give them a couple of bucks. And I'm going to give them a track. I did find this out. You do realize there is not one person standing on the corner anywhere that's not saved. They're all saved. You say, how do you know? Because every one of them says, God bless you. Amen. They're all that way. But the thing about it is, the old saying, work for the grace of God, there go I.
Yes, sir.
That could be you standing on that corner. That could be you sitting in that little wheelchair with no legs.
Yes, sir.
You know, God loves all the little children, if you will. Whether they're old, young, whatever. God loves everybody. God so loved the world. He came in. And we need to understand there's more to it than just money. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. This man who looks at himself and forgets God had something in store that he didn't realize. God had his number as God has your number and mine. The man who looks at himself and forgets God when blessings are abundant is only revealing his sin. He's revealing his pride. He's revealing his self. I tithe because God said it's mine.
Yes.
And I'm going to tithe and give God what belongs to him.
Yes.
Last time I read in the Bible where God said this is mine and they didn't obey was in the Garden of Eden. You know the story and you know how that went. That's the reason all of us are in this situation where people have to be forgiven of their sin, be born again. Jesus had to come and die because of that situation. But you know, there are others in the Bible who had the opposite thought here. Peter had the opposite experience. In Luke 5, verse 8, he called a multitude of fish, if you remember the story, and he said these words, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's a little more humble. Amen. And yet it was God who provided the fish. Jacob had a similar experience in the Old Testament when he prayed, and I quote, I am not worthy of the least of all mercies and of all truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. If you go back and read Genesis 32 and verse 10, he didn't deserve much of anything. God was being a blessing to him. David responded to God's blessing by saying this, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me this far? 2 Samuel 7:18. A different outlook on life, if you will. There's another one I want you to look at. Go to 1 Timothy. We've been in and around it a lot. And I guess because I'm doing a lot of studying those two books. But 1 Timothy. And let's look at this together. Chapter 1, verse 12. And watch how Paul responds here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. That's a different outlook, isn't it? For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. A little more humble here, if you will. All those we just read were humble responses. This man with 11 pronouns said, I did this. This is my hand. This is my work. This is my harvest, if you will. And the Lord straightened him out. Now, I hope you get this down. The material blessings of life are either a mirror in which we see ourselves or a window through which we see God.
Yes, sir.
Let me repeat that. The material blessings of this life are either a mirror in which we see what we've done ourselves or a window through which we see God and God's blessings. Everything I have to this point in my life and will be even beyond, if I died, it's heaven, we all know that. It's all God. It's all about God. And in your life, you've got to come to that realization. The proud, selfish person thinks he deserves all these blessings, and when he does, he thinks only of himself. And that's what this young man did here in Luke chapter 12. Go back to Luke chapter 12, and we'll look there in just a moment. I'm going to read to you while you're turning back there from Deuteronomy, because this is the thing that happened to this young man, happens to us. And one of my favorite readings here in Deuteronomy is found in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. So I want you to listen to me carefully. The Lord had blessed in so many ways the children of Israel. And it gets to verse number 10 here, and he says this. Just listen. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. In other words, for all the blessings God's given to us, the things he's provided, etc., we are to bless the Lord our God. But he went on to say this. This is what I want you to see. He said in verse 11, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God.
Yes.
I hope and pray you never forget why you are where you are today. Paul remembered that. I'm the chiefest of all sinners. Look where I'm at. I thank Christ Jesus that he gave me this opportunity to serve in the ministry and a complete change in life. And he gave God the glory throughout his entire ministry, if you will. And David, even though he had a failure or two, did the same thing. He became the apple of God's eye. He became the man after God's own heart because he had that psalm that we all talk about, Psalm 51, where he literally repented, used every term possible on the repentance of sin, and God honored that. And even though he didn't get to build the temple, bless God, he got to furnish all of the supplies of the temple, get the people to give and all the officers to give. He had a great part in it because he realized it wasn't about him. It's no wonder Moses warned his people to prepare themselves for the blessings of the promised land. You know why? He knew they couldn't face the burdens and battles. He wasn't sure they could face the blessings either. Look at chapter 6. Go back there. Let me go back there. I didn't have you turn there for sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read this to you. Chapter 6 and verse number 4. And the Bible said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." Let me jump down for sake of time. Let me jump down to verse 14. Actually, let me drop down to verse number 5. I don't want to do that. I'm going to go through it. Verse 6, "Now, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Drop down. Verse 8 here says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand." Verse 9, "Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house." Verse 10, "It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive tree which thou plantest not, when thou hast eaten and full," listen, "then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I'm telling you right now, we're all guilty. We ought to get up every day thanking God for everything we are and everything we've got.
Amen.
A good steward realizes that. A good steward realizes how blessed we really are. You say, "Well, those folks in the church got more money than I got." I don't know why. Maybe they worked harder. Maybe they've been given longer. Maybe they've grown in areas you haven't grown in grace, and you need to get there. Because God's willing to bless all of his people in the same manner. If we were all on the same level of spirituality, he'd bless us all on that level. But we may be some here and some up here and some in between. And, you know, if it was me, I'd do everything I could in my Christian life to be where God wanted me to be so that I could receive the blessings of God. I like Psalm 1 when I go back and read it on your own and you go home tonight. It talks about the blessings of God and how we're to obtain them. So do we see God or ourselves? Number 2, do we think of enjoyment or investment? Look at verse 19 back in our text now. This is a very, very valid point here. Watch this. Don't miss this. Number 1, do we seek God or ourselves? I'm hoping we seek God in this thing and ourselves just as his servants. Not I, me, I did, and I get this, and I deserve that. But he says here, do we think of enjoyment? In fact, verse 19 answers that here. He says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know what he's thinking about? Enjoyment. Hello? He wasn't thinking about investing in anything for God. He was thinking about himself, thinking about investing more and more, building new barns, if you will. He was a self-centered person. And by the way, a self-centered person, I wrote this in, immediately thinks of enjoyment when he's blessed with material things, just the way they think. The spiritually minded, however, say or should say in their life, God has blessed me, and how am I going to be able to use this to glorify and honor God? You know, when God gives us new finances, we ought to, in return, tithe off our finances. But understanding you can't outgive God, give in different areas that will be beneficial to the ministry of the local church. Could be the bus ministry. It could be a new building. It could be a new project. It could be a new something needed in the church. And I know that you hear it all the time throughout years in churches. If you've been a member of a church for a long time, "Well, we need this, we need this, we need that." You know what? Corporations need things.
Yes,
sir. Hospitals need things. And they've got people that are involved on the outside putting finances in those special hospitals. And their money comes in. They've got to be good stewards of it. But you know what, church? Corporations aren't going to give money to us.
Right.
Government, not going to give us any money, church.
Right.
It's got to come from you. Got to come from God's people. Now, I'm probably speaking to the choir tonight. You're probably all faithful in all of your giving. But you know, sometimes we can do just a little bit better, knowing that God will bless it and not allow us to kind of fall back into that self-centered, you know, I've done my part. I've given what I need to give. And I don't know about you, but I thought giving it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together. That's what my Bible says.
Amen.
I like it. I like that part about running over too. Amen. I've told that story before. I just like that part about running over. About that part about buying that ice cream. You remember I told that last time I was here. Where you go down there, you sit on a little stool in the drugstore. You old ones know what I'm talking about. You sit on that little stool and they make you an ice cream sundae or ice cream float. And you put that ice cream in there and they pour that Coke on top. Back when it was really Coke. Okay? I'm talking about really Coke. It's no wonder most of the kids hung out there. But now look up here. Look up here. I didn't want all that Coca-Cola. All right? I wanted the ice cream. But even with a little Coke, you know what it did? It just flowed over. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, if we give, it shall be given you. And he said, press down, shake again. And then running over. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't believe your Bible, do you? You don't think God's able to give you where it's just running over, where you can give and it's running over, you can give, it's running over, you can give. Maybe we need to try him a little more. The tithe is the Lord's.
Yes, sir.
And he said he'd open up that window. But there's other things that we can do for God's blessings to be upon our life. God, the Bible said, who giveth us all things richly. Hang on now. To what? To enjoy. To enjoy. You want to write that down? You'll find it in 1 Timothy 6:17. God who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. But for what? To honor him. Selfish enjoyment that ignores God and others is never the will of God. Ever. Ever. You know, the father who receives a surprise bonus at work immediately thinks of what he can do for his family. And if he's doing that, he's given evidence of God's love and maturity in his life.
Yes.
I knew a father like this. His name was J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney used to tithe off of his business. He used to give bukus of money to different folks, different hospitals. But when the sons took over and family took over, guess what? The tithing stopped. I used to buy from an outfit called Say So Incorporated in the great southwest area of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And there at Say So Incorporated, the owner there would tithe. And the way he would tithe is, hey, preacher, you need any new tables? And you know what? Even if I didn't, I said, come on.
Yeah.
And there were always chairs, other things he could give to us. You know, that was God working through him because he was a tither. He was a giver and he owned a corporation.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't happen all the time. I'm sure you've been blessing your life in churches where some have given. I had a guy come in from Dallas, Texas, and he owned an electric company. And he come in and gave me several $1,000s worth of equipment, lights just like these to put in the ceiling and so on and so forth. And I belonged to the First Baptist Church downtown Dallas. And God did that. And he did that based on the faithfulness of our people that gave and gave and gave in that church. You know, God not only blesses us individually, he blesses us corporately when we all get involved. But you know, I also know a father, and wrote this down, that consumed it upon himself. There's so many families like that. They don't have a father that takes care of them. You probably, every one of you, take care of your family, your kids, maybe your grandkids. But I've been in the ministry long enough to know that's not always the case. And it's a sad, sad thing when you see a father who gets an extra blessing and he's headed for the lake instead of the grocery store. Amen. Or he's headed to hunt instead of buying some clothes for the kids or tennis shoes for the boys to play sports with and on and on and on. I know what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
Godly character is not the result of the accumulation of things, but it is the result of sacrifices and decisions within the will of God to help others, to honor God with our tithes and offerings. You know, Abraham was a wealthy man, if you read back and study in Genesis. He was a wealthy man, but he still walked with God. I know he went down into Egypt, but when he come out, he walked with God all the way to that time to give up his son. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham was a wealthy man, but still walked with God. We can walk with God. This man wasn't walking with God. Now, I don't know if anybody in here is wealthy or not. If you are, that last offering tomorrow night, put a whole lot of money in there, will you? But look at God's Word one more time. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want you to underline these. I'm sure you already have, but I want you to see them with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 18. In fact, let's back up. No, I'm going to read that first. Verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. See, there's something better. And what? Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that's giving, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, they may lay hold on eternal life. God has got an account book. He's watching everything we do. Go back up to verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. That wouldn't settle real well today. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's what happened to the young man in Luke 12. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, watch it now, they have erred from the what?
Faith.
So who's he talking about here? Christians. He talking about people that knew God, people of faith, if you will, and pierced themselves, into that verse, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I've watched people over the years that just kind of fell off of their giving, their tithing, their being involved, going soul winning, and they suffered for it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but there's enough in this world for you and I to suffer from than to be our own instigator of suffering in our own lives. We need to understand that God's keeping an account. Keeping an account of your life and my life. The Lord's not telling us to get rid of business, to get rid of finance, to get rid of wealth if we got it. He's telling us to invest in eternal things. Number three. Do we experience anxiety or peace? You know, people have this strange notion that things can give peace, when in reality it doesn't give peace at all. We soon discover that many privileges of owning a car brings with it headaches. Taking care of it, spending money on it, keeping it up, a home, same way, a family, no doubt. You and I will notice that Christ followed this parable with a sermon. Go back to our chapter now and look at this. Luke chapter 12, look down there at verse number 22. He followed this a parable with a sermon. Watch it now. On worry. You know, the poor think the rich never worry, but they do. Look at verse number 22, chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, now he's speaking to his disciples, and I believe there are others there. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? None of you, because I've tried that all my life. Amen. Verse 26, if you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today and in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more, what? How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, isn't it amazing to you that the birds out there, they don't have to find a blanket? They don't have to turn on a heater during the winter? You ever thought about that? I mean, if you come by my house, my wife feeds the birds, the squirrels, anything else that comes into the yard. All right? And I'm thinking about it. Wait a minute. Let them all die. I mean, they're eating everything and they're messing up the yard and all that. And by the way, God has a way of taking care of his creation. Don't you think for one minute, well, how do the birds honor him? I don't know. Ask God when you get to heaven. I don't know. How do the squirrels honor him? I don't know. He created them.
Yes, sir.
According to my Bible, Adam named them. don't know how all that happened. I just know it happened. I believe the Bible. And the thing about it is that God takes care of you and I. I really like the reading in Matthew better than here, but it's the same thing. You know, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has everything you and I need. He has everything the Gospel Light Baptist Church needs. It may not be in the building. It may not even be in your pocket right now. It may be in somebody else's pocket. But if we are faithful as a local church, individually and corporately, God is obligated to bless. He's obligated to increase that which we give unto Him back to us.
Yes.
So Jesus went into a message on worry. Worry seems to be the one thing that bothers so many people. You know, we can sit around worrying about Brad Kavanaugh. We can sit around worrying about who's going to win the election in November. Well, we need to quit worrying about it.
Yes.
What we need to do is we need to pray.
Amen.
And what we need to do is involve ourselves and vote.
Amen.
Okay? You have no right to say a word about any of it if you don't. Well, I just don't want to vote anymore. I've heard that.
Yeah.
And I told my members, if you don't vote, you have no say.
That's right.
So, well, my vote won't count. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You know, I believe God let us set up a government in this land unlike any other in the world.
Yes.
And He's given us that privilege to be able to vote.
Amen.
But the Lord was preaching here, and He was giving this message on anxiety or peace. He wanted to know where they were. So He began to talk to them about worry. So let me give you these in close. Look at chapter 12 there in our text, verse 23. So the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know what He's telling them? Worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. Doesn't mean not to care, but learn to live by faith. Learn to live by faith and live by the Word of God, who said He would provide, He would take care, He would bless, He would give over and abundantly to us. Worry is unreasonable. May I say this? Worry is unnatural. Look at verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, when taking thought, can add to this stature one cubit? The ravens and lilies don't have any reason to worry. Why? Because God, listen, because all of the nature that God allowed knows the Father, knows that He'll meet their need. How does He know that? I don't know, but they show up at the Ogney home every day. I believe we could name them or put a little splotch of paint on it. It'd be the same one. They're not dumb. They know where God's food is. They know where the fresh water is. The Bible said in Psalm 147, He giveth to the beast His food and to the young ravens which cry. He said in Psalm 145, verse 16, Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. I'm trying to tell you, God's in control, ladies and gentlemen. It's nothing new for you, nothing new for I. But sometimes we live on the outside of that truth. We live out here like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's all going to all fall apart. You know what? I kind of wish it would all fall apart and it'd come to an end. We go to heaven and we won't have another worry. Amen? I'd love to be in a place where everybody's on the positive side.
Amen.
Where there's no more gripes, no more complaints, no more accusations, no more this, no more that. Just peace. Amen?
Amen.
Enjoy. Go up there and sing. Sing our heart out. As I told you already, some of you Baptists aren't going to like it. You're going to try to find another place to live, another planet, because you can get up there and you're going to have all kinds of music. Amen.
Amen.
Probably find some bluegrass up there somewhere too. Amen. That's that country in me. I'm sorry. Stop it. Stop it. Worry is unnatural. Worry is unreasonable. God does not want you to worry. I believe it's a sin. Number three, worry is unavailing. It's useless. It's futile. Look back at our text there. Look at verse number 25. And which of you, by taking thought, in other words, worrying about it, can add this stature one cubit? Look up here. This has been the same short guy all the year. Now the weight's gone a little bit, but that was my fault. I could get rid of that. Amen? But I can't grow anymore. I've even tried to put steps in my shoes. Amen? Some of you guys tall, you don't worry about that. I hope you hit your head on the door on the way out. Amen. Worry is unavailing. It's useless. It's futile. Worry cannot help you and I to prevail over one problem. Worry doesn't make us live longer. It shortens our life. And that is a fact.
Yes,
sir. As we read it. It affects our health. Worry affects our health. Worry affects others around us. By the way, Christian, listen to me. The last thing you and I need to be doing is complaining about what we don't have, complaining about what God hadn't done, and especially around people that are lost.
Yes, sir.
And about people who are out of church.
Yes, sir.
You know, whether it's going right or going wrong, let me just throw this in there. When somebody says, hey, how's it going in your Christian life? Well, it's going great. I mean, you may be going through something, but let them know that God's bigger than their God down here. You know He is, but they're saying, well, why would I want to go? And all you Christians do is gripe, complain, gripe, complain. That's what the Jews did.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Christians today still do. Worry is unavailing. Worry is unnecessary. We have to realize God cares for us more than we care for ourselves. You know why? Because you're valuable to God. You know, He cares for the flowers and the grass that's cut down, plucked. And here's the thing. He cares for all His creation. Well, I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to read it again. It's one of my favorites. I told you it was. Matthew 6, go there. You'll love it. You'll love it. Matthew 6. We just read some up in Luke. I like Matthew. I like what he starts us with, verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold one and despise it. You cannot serve God and mammon, nor that which is part of this world system. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, he follows it with this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, through Mrs. Ogdy. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of thee. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father. No, by the way, anybody remember anything called manna? Anybody remember anything called quail? Dove? Amen.
Yes.
See, God already has it. Oh, I could go into a whole new message here. It's kind of like that widow woman. She's already down there. God knew she'd be there and she'd take care of that prophet. Amen. You know, God has everything He needs to get His work done.
Yes.
He just wants to bring it out through your life and my life.
Amen.
And He said, but first seek ye the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these, y'all, is that in your Bible? All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is evil thereof. Again, my God said He would take care of all if I'll take care of what He wants me to live by.
Yes.
Worry is unnecessary. Can I say number five, worry is unspiritual. You know, look back at our text again quickly. Hurry. I'm done. Worry is unspiritual. Pretty much said a lot about that, so I won't spend a lot of time here. But look here at verse number 29 again. And the Bible said, and seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. There's a spiritual application. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Go back up that verse 29. Seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink. But watch it. Neither be ye of a what? Doubtful mind. You know, that's a spiritual problem right there.
Yes, sir.
Problem is we doubt whether God can do it or whether God wants to do it. Let me just assure you, God wants to do it and God can do it. Worry is spiritual, unspiritual. Well, what do we think? Do we think of security or insecurity? You know, this man was not concerned about eternal security, was he? And yet, what did the Lord tell him that day? He said, tonight, this day, thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, he was going to die that very day. And then whose is all this going to be? Who's all this going to be? By the way, most of us are not rich, but we sure got a lot of stuff. You ever thought about that? And if we die right now, who's it going to?
Yeah.
Who's it going to go to? You go to your kid and they're going to put it out in a garage sale. Yeah. I can't believe my dad held on to that. Would you look at what mama's got up here? My wife's got an antique bedroom upstairs, and she wants the girls to grab it. I said, well, it better be before the three sons get there. Because if the three sons get there, it's in the yard. It's going to be sold. It's going to be sold. But you know what? None of that matters. I think you ought to be prepared. I think you ought to have a will.
Amen.
But I want to understand this. It's going to stay here. It's not going up there.
That's right.
It's not going up there. You notice this guy had the things that money could buy, but he lost the things that money cannot buy.
Yes, sir.
And that was his soul. That soul was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all he was trying to get the man to see, this is not about you. It's not about this world. It's not about what you have. It's about God. It's about the Word of God. It's about what God expects out of you and I. You know what the farmer's doing? He was enjoying a false satisfaction. I, me. Hey, I realize most of us are not there tonight, but in some areas we may be. And you know what happened? This guy was so successful, but he failed.
Yeah.
Therein lies the failure of success. I wonder, and I want you to listen to me, and I'm done here, I'm closing. I wonder, do we see God or do we see ourselves when we're blessed? Well, look what I done. Or do we see God in it? It's that simple.
Yes, sir.
Remember, this man never, with all the success, he'd never seen God in it. Secondly, do we think of enjoyment or investing? The investment. Where he said, take that ease and be merry, he could have been a great help to the local church. Number three, do we experience anxiety or peace, worry or contentment in Christ? And number four, do we think of security or insecurity? I am sure glad tonight I've got eternal security. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, would you like to have a little more money? Well, sure, everybody would like to have a little bit more money, but not at the expense of leaving Him out.
Yes.
Where are you tonight in your finances? If you're here tonight and you're tithing, you know what God, but you can't outgive God. You know that. You should by now. But if you're here tonight and you're not tithing or you're not tithing on a regular basis, hear me well. You can't be right with God anywhere else until you get that right.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? Well, yeah, but I do this and I do. I'm not talking about what you do. I'm talking about how you honor God. And God said, this is mine.
Yes.
And if you're tithing, that's great and that's God's. But I always like giving a little more because God gives a little more. And when I give a little more, God gives a little more. It's not mine, it's His anyways.
Yes.
You know, God wants 10%, He leaves 90% for me. And He knows with that 90%, I'm going to buy groceries and clothing and gas and a vehicle and take care of what we need to live in this earth. But He also knows out of that 90% should be something left to help, like in the bus ministry, to help somebody get through a Christian school, etc., etc. But now hear me. Are you a failure in your success? All of us in here have tasted of success in some measure. And I want you to know, if I had any through the years, and I could tell you stories, it's all been because of God. And it will always be because of God. I don't know, do you do faith promise?
Yes, sir.
I thought you did. I could remember that. How's your faith promise missions?
Amen.
One of the weakest areas in my local church for 30 years was faith promise. And I'd always challenge them. I said, why have you quit giving? Well, it just ain't there. No. You found something else to use it on. Because is God true? If God's true, when we give, He gives back. Sometimes, kind of like that father, he got that big bonus, but he went and spent it on something else. We need to be right about our finances, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that God is watching everything we do. He's holding us accountable, and all He wants to do is bless and bless and bless. But we've got to bless Him.
Yes, sir.
And we got to bless Him with our finances. We got to bless Him with our life, our service unto Him on behalf of God for others. That's soul winning. God blesses soul winning.
Amen.
And God wants you to be a part of it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for blessings. Amen? Amen. I'm ready for blessings. I want God's blessings every day of my life. And I certainly think you do as well. And I was just sitting here thinking. I know I said I'm done 3 times. Paul said it 4, so I got one more. And remember these scriptures? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, I like that verse. But he goes on, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit and seed, that his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I want to be in the middle of God's blessings. That's what I want. And finances has a lot to do with that. Faithfulness has a lot to do with that. Not only in finances, but in our service unto God. Well, let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed.